call the meeting to order. The first, 1B will be pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just a note, we'll be moving item number 20 to item 8A, right after open forum. Item number 3 will be the approval of warrants. Suggested motion to approve and sign warrants 27 through 39 in the amount of $1,731,345.09.
So moved.
Gordon? Marcella? All in favor? 6-0. Item number 4, acceptance of gifts, donations, and grants. Suggested motion move to approve and accept the following gifts, donations, grants in the amount of $950. Organization Florence Alessi, $100 to the Heating Assistance Fund. William and Amy Lee in memory of Marilyn Murphy, $50 to the library. Lincoln Main Federal Credit Union, $500 for rec tackle football. And Lincoln Dental LLC, $300 for rec tackle football. Marcella?
Second.
Gordon? All in favor? 6-0. Chairman and Town Manager's comments is item number 5. Mr. Manager?
I'm finding the election period interesting.
What's that?
I am finding the election period interesting.
Yeah, we are.
That's my comment.
I don't have anything. Anyone else? Planning Board report, item number 6.
There is none.
No, she's there. The Planning Board met the end of September. They reviewed 2 subdivisions. Both of them by Lakeville Shores. One was on Lee Road. No, I'm sorry. One was Bruce Stephen. One was Lakeville Shores. One is off the Still Road, off Tobin Brook Road. The other one off the Lee Road. They got preliminary approval. They also approved relocating Robinson's Towing to River Road on a new lot with more room. And lastly, they met with Egg Pond Road residents to discuss impact fees for new subdivisions. That motion was tabled for further discussion and will be taken up at the next meeting.
Thank you, Ruth. Item number 7, monthly reports. Any questions on monthly reports?
Just wanted to make a comment on the Town Lincoln has a new website. It just launched last week. Some things might be out of date because I updated things that didn't cross over. But if you see something out of date, let me know.
Thank you. On economic development, grants and loans, the economic development team has acquired $16,104,649 in grants and loans with $7,260,000 pending grants. Item number 8, open forum. The council will allow Lincoln residents and all Lincoln taxpayers to comment prior to council action on any agenda items. Open forum questions should be forwarded to the town office by mail or email to Town Clerk Ann Morrison at questions@lincolnmain.org. Please have your questions and comments in by 5 p.m. the day of the meeting. If you have any questions, please call 794-3372. General requests may be made in open forum during a regular meeting, but will not be acted upon in the same meeting. Individuals wishing to be heard by the council will be recognized by the council chair. After identifying themselves, the speaker may make brief comments and may not repeat previous statements made. A speaker must limit themselves to the item under discussion. The speaker must observe rules of common etiquette. The council chair may set a time limit on length of public comment and or a time limit for individual speakers. Council chair reserves the right to stop any public comment that is contrary to the rules and to any counselor or may make a point of order during the discussion. Any person who disrupts a council meeting may be required to leave in order to maintain orderly consideration of the matters for which a meeting was called. Would anyone like to speak in open forum? Yes, sir.
Hello, everyone. My name is Carl Stingley. I live off Frost Street, and I just spoke to Dennis Bullen before the meeting here. Two concerns. He said the signs are almost ready to put on Frost Street for no through trucks. My question is to the police chief, how we're going to enforce that. And then the second item was last month he mentioned putting riprap in front of the Stump Pond Dam, and he said now would be the time to do it. And I talked to the engineer after last month's meeting, and he said if we get a lot of snowfall over the winter and that water comes over and there's no boards there to divert it, it could start digging underneath the dam, and he thinks the riprap would be a good idea. So I don't know if anybody wants to comment on that. Sorry, Chief.
No, you're good.
Anyone else for open forum? Yes, ma'am.
My name's Alicia James. I just have some...
Can you speak in the microphone?
My name's Alicia James. I just have some safety concerns regarding the rec football fields on the Lee Road. My son was assaulted on Monday, September 29th there. It's like a remote location. It's, you know, there's no lights, there's no camera. It's away from the road. So my suggestion is like getting lights there. Because if there was even one light where people park, that he might have not been assaulted because he would have been more aware of his surroundings and people there. Three males were hiding behind the shed and attacked him. So he was lured there. So if there was lights or something there, I believe that wouldn't have happened. So if we can maybe see about getting lights or even one light or something up there, because something worse could have happened to him. He was physically okay, but I mean, you know, something might have happened to him that would have been way worse, and it could possibly come back on the town. If something does happen, I know Joyce McLean, she died in the Millinocket behind the trails back there. So, I mean, that's another safety concern. Something seriously could happen if there's no lights or anything up there. So that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else for open forum?
Kind of crippled.
Hi, my name is Michael Bickford. I live here in the town of Lincoln. I am here to clear up some misinformation about myself and my intentions and actions concerning my hangar and the airplane at the Lincoln Airport. First, thank you, Councilman, for the opportunity to speak to you. I went to the town office on September 25th to make an appointment for the October 20th meeting, so I could have a little longer there, to get put on the October 20th agenda to explain my case. Last Thursday, my wife went to the town office to pick up the meeting agenda. She was told I was not on the agenda after all, but could only speak during the time for community members. Mr. Bronson had made that decision. I am not the non-caring, non-communicating person I was painted out to be on the June council meeting. I have a long time ongoing communication with the LAOPA members, some of them are good friends, and the town council, and the town. I'm not very good at reading these.
That's okay.
Concerning my lot and my hangar at the airport, this packet my wife has to you will hand out to you will show the communications. It includes communications with Keith Strange, Rick Bronson, and shows canceled checks that my lot lease was paid up to date. It shows that when Wade Jordan contacted me about options for my hangar in April, and that I responded within the given time frame listed in that. The certified letter I sent was signed for by a town employee, but I never heard back from the town. The only reason I knew a decision was made to tear the hangar down was because of an article in the Lincoln News that was covered that June council meeting. Tear it down was because of the article in the Lincoln News that covered the June council meeting. It was quite upsetting, so I wrote a response letter to the editor in response to the article, which is in the packets. Afterward, I met with Rick Bronson on July 21st. He told me Wade Jordan didn't work here anymore and I had better get a lawyer. He gave me Stu Jacobs' number to call him. My wife called and made an appointment for me to talk to Mr. Jacobs the next morning, July 22nd. We met at 8 a.m. and I presented Mr. Jacobs a packet of evidence, which is the evidence I have here. Evidence which is the, I'm sorry, I get nervous.
That's okay.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to wrap you up shortly.
Okay, this, I only got a half a page left. Which is the evidence you have here. As to why my hangar should be destroyed, I had planned to move it to my next adjacent lot. I couldn't move it because there was an electrical line over my lot. I needed that line taken down so I could move the building. It was built very rugged to do so. That crossed my lot, okay. And Jacobs refused to look at the hangar with me and refused to talk about the plan to move it. He said he had been given orders by Rick Bronson to tear it down, and that was what he was going to do. The next day, July 23rd, the hangar was torn down. The next packet you are going to get is photo evidence that although one wall of the hangar had fallen to the ground, it was secured and not a safety issue. The building had been vandalized with bracings removed and that made one wall fall down. The pieces of metal roofing were manually removed. The short rusty metal roofing blowing around the airport was not part of my building at all. You will see that my roof was not rusty, but was high quality grade painted white steel roofing in long pieces.
Mr. Bickford, is this is going to be a legal action of any sort? If this is going to be, the council can't accept any paperwork. It's got to come through the town office and come through the town attorney, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's fair to both sides.
That is not.
I'm not planning any right now.
Okay, well, I understand, but it sounds like you have a difference in opinion of what's taking place here. We usually only go 3 minutes, okay? So, but the council won't be accepting any paperwork. It won't look at nothing?
None of the pictures of the hangar and all that stuff?
It needs to go through the town attorney. The town attorney will bring it to us.
Okay.
Okay? So, I appreciate your time. No, I do. But if there's a legal action, we can't take any action tonight.
Well, I wasn't expecting it. I wanted to leave these folders so you could just look at the stuff.
Yeah.
And then maybe at the next meeting you have, if you had questions and stuff, I would answer them. I didn't want to tie anybody up.
Okay. Thank you.
That's all I really wanted to do.
Thank you. Anyone else for open forum? Mr. Edwards?
George Edwards. Just on item 18, hiring Byron Sanderson. I just want to let everyone know I support it 100%. I think it's definitely needed. We have so many properties that are undertaxed or not taxed, or people getting double homestead exemptions. So I think needs to pay for himself. And if there's any question on where to pay for it, again, unless the money's been spent, there's MRC money in an account, a bank account sitting there, so that could possibly be used if...
Say that again, George.
MRC money. If you remember, we got that MRC money. So if we need a way to pay for it, then hopefully we have more than enough ways to pay for it. So.
Kind of thinking he'd pay for himself.
Yes.
Buys his properties.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. Anyone else for open forum? Okay. So we're going to go to item 20, which is discussion on the removal of the John Weatherby gold ball from LP Burstool. I asked for this discussion item because there were several items removed from LP Burstool, and I was contacted by a couple folks. And I asked for this to be, I contacted the Weatherby family, and because the gold ball that was issued to John Weatherby wasn't going to be kept at Ella Burr anymore, and by the way, the gymnasium's named after him, I wanted the council to see if they'd make a decision. But I'll need someone to suspend the rules after we have this conversation. Would anyone like to speak on this issue? Mr. Clay.
I think it would be an honor and a privilege to display it. John did so much for this community, never asked for anything in return, and to have it removed from the school is just unacceptable.
I will read a little message we got from a guy named Christopher. He goes by Christopher Joe. Probably everyone will figure out who he is. Removing the gold ball honoring John Weatherby is more than a bad decision, it's a disgrace. John wasn't just a coach in a small mill town. He was the heartbeat of Lincoln youth basketball. For decades he taught kids, me included, lessons that reach far beyond the court. Teamwork, discipline, and pride in representing their community. In short, John was an institution. The gold ball isn't just metal and paint. It symbolizes John's legacy. A visible reminder of what one man's dedication can mean to generations. To remove it is to forget. To leave it up is to honor the very best of who we are. The next move of those in a position to affect this outcome will be telling. Chris Thorne.
Does anyone know why the decision was made?
You know, I haven't contacted RSU 67, but I know the picture of Ella Burr has been taken down and given to the Historical Society, which is good. But Ella Burr founded the school.
Right.
Yeah. Ashley Webster was the first principal. His plaque's been taken out of there. A flag that flew over Kuwait, which was given to the fourth grade, is now at the Historical Society. I really don't want to know who's making these decisions, but I think it's probably a good idea the school board looks into it, because that is a treasure.
And it sounds like we ought to make sure that we protect it until perhaps a decision is made to change the mind on that.
I don't think it's going back. Mm. In fact, I've had that conversation with the family.
Oh, really?
It's going to live right here.
Okay.
If we okay it. So I'd like to have a motion to suspend the rules, please.
So moved.
Steve. Second. Dan. All in favor? 6-0.
Make a motion to display John Weatherby's gold ball and his picture here in the council chambers until his immediate family thinks there's a more appropriate place for it.
Discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I agree with this, but I think we as a council, we need to pressure the school board, pressure RSU, the principal, superintendents and say, look, I mean, it's too bad that they just throw these mementos away, because history is history.
It's akin to taking down statues.
It is. It is, you know, and I think we need to do everything we can. I mean, you know, do whatever. I mean, pressure them for finances or whatever we need to do, you know. I mean, it's sad, you know.
From the sentiment that I've talked to people about, they're not getting that back.
No.
Any more discussion?
Just a question, clarifying question. When you guys say council chambers, does that mean in here or this hallway as well?
In council chambers, right in here.
Okay.
We'll have a pedestal and a podium or whatever. We'll fix it.
Okay.
All in favor? 6-0.
We done?
Unless you'd like to get a picture.
We'd like to get a picture.
Perfect. Let's get a picture.
We'd love to get a picture, please, of everybody. Come on, everybody.
Yes. Come on, buddy.
Yep.
Come here,
Suzanne, is it okay if I take it?
Please, and send it to me, yes, please.
Yes. See if I can get everybody in the picture.
Thank you.
You need to stand tall. Get up on the chair, please.
Wait a minute.
Go around front.
Come right over here, guys. Come right over here. Listen, board.
Okay. Smile, everybody.
Chris is taking many pictures.
And thank you guys very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You were a good girl.
In quiet.
Through that. Item 9, sign warrants for the municipal election. Suggested motion, move to sign warrants for the municipal election scheduled for November 4th, 2025. Steve?
Second.
Dan? Discussion? All in favor? 6-0. Item 10A, public hearing. Parking ordinance change 1407.3.101.1. Move to open public hearing for the purpose of hearing oral and written comments on the proposed ordinance change to the parking ordinance 1407.3.10.1 as attached. This change is to address the parking lot of the fire department, is for business only and not for public parking lot.
So moved.
Steve?
Second.
Dan, discussion, Gordon?
Just, and I want to understand that saying parking in the fire department is reserved exclusively for fire personnel while on duty or conducting official fire business, so there's no parking for public even coming for a short visit?
No, that's a question I have.
Yeah.
I thought we can talk about it. So. We got to move to open the public forum.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. All in favor?
Premature.
6-0. And we start at 7:26 p.m. Chief?
Lee Miller, police chief. So I guess we can
it's for fire business.
That's what,
yeah,
so that didn't seem to quite make it.
Okay, so the fire department is for fire business and only. So basically it was prevent somebody from parking, let's say, a camper there for months on a time.
Which, so I'm going to suggest that fire personnel while on duty or citizens while conducting
normal course of business. Anyone else? Okay, we're out at 7:27. 10B, approve ordinance change, parking ordinance change 1407.3.10.1.
I move so as just with that amendment.
The public can park there while doing the normal course of business.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, will we be putting up signage there to explain? I think it'd be...
Well, I think they're going to have to put signage up if there's no parking except doing normal course of business. All right. Public. Any further discussion? All in favor? 6-0. 11A, public hearing, municipal code general assistance ordinance with maximums, appendices H, A through H, 0512. Suggested motion, move to open a public hearing for the purpose of hearing oral and written comments on the proposed amendment to the municipal code general assistance ordinance and appendices A through H in its entirety.
Move to open.
Marcella. Dan. All in favor? 6-0. We're in at 7:28. Gordon?
I would love a summary of the changes from the previous. I noticed it said that it hasn't been changed since 2021. I'm assuming there must be changes in the amount of money, income requirements, etc. Yeah.
Melissa Capella, treasurer, and general assistance administrator. The money changes every year. The state sends us their guidelines every year. So that is the appendices A through H. I believe I sent you the both last year's and this year's amounts earlier today, Gordon.
Okay, I didn't catch that. So
it was part of that email that I sent.
Sorry, I apparently didn't pick
okay.
that up.
Okay. So, basic math, they've got about a 10% increase in all areas of the maximums. Last year, the overall maximum income that could apply for GA for a family of three was $1,169. And this year they have raised that to $1,271. They adjust it slightly every single year for those maximums.
That's the income for what period?
For a month.
That's a month.
For a person applying for general assistance. If they're over that income, it would be a denial. If they're just below that income, they only get approved for the difference between the max, what they earn to the maximum, if there is a need. Sometimes there's not a need if somebody's expenses don't even meet that maximum income. So there's a lot that goes into doing a general assistance appointment. And a lot of research that goes into it. The ordinance itself, the change in the ordinance itself, MMA has written that with the state's guidance, and it's mostly definitions. In the front of that ordinance, there are a lot of definitions. And that is mostly what the state or Maine Municipal has updated, is the
different terms they use on GA. GA has stayed basically the same since I started here 18 years ago. They just have to update terms that people use. And so it's been about 5 years since the ordinance has been updated, so that is what they did with this.
Any more questions from the council? Thank you.
Thank you.
We're out at 7:32. 11B, amendment, municipal code general assistance ordinance with the maximus appendices A through H 0512. Suggested motion, move to amend the municipal code general assistance ordinance appendices A through H in its entirety and emergency preamble as attached. Emergency preamble. Whereas ordinances of the town council do not become effective until 45 days after passage unless enacted as emergencies, and whereas the purpose of this is to adopt the general assistance ordinance and appendices to update general assistance maximums in order to meet the state guidelines, therefore this needs to be done immediately, then whereas in the judgment of the town council, these facts create an emergency within the meaning of Article 2, Section 212 of the town charter, and requires the amendment of the municipal code, general assistance ordinance, and maximums as immediately necessary in order to conduct appointments with clients and determine eligibility.
Amen.
Marcella.
Second.
Dan. Question from the council? Discussion? All in favor? 6-0. Item 12, update Reese Across America.
Maggie was going to be here to do this, but got pulled aside, so she asked if I could do it. She gives their packets for you guys, though, about where we are with the financing, and...
We'll have to take this up next month, though, if we...
Yeah. My name is Sean, Events Communications Director, but speaking on that behalf of Reads Across America. So, in these packets, we have like a thermometer here that everyone can kind of see. We're about halfway there. Total money raised so far is almost $5,700. We need $12,500, or a little over $12,000 to go. So the remaining is $6,761.26. So far, we've done fundraising at Septemberfest, as well as Table at Steaks and stuff, Mono Wine Cake. Wally World is going to be doing, or Walmart, sorry, is going to be doing a table there. It's just instinct, all right? It's just instinct. Walmart has a table there that people can see as they go in. They're doing a couple, helping out with the donations and all. At the Halloween bash, they will be having a donation bucket and the 50-50 raffle. And then it'll be at the craft fair as well. So,
what is our time frame?
December 1st is when.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have one more.
We got to have the 12,000.
Yeah, that's when we have to have it all.
We can raise money till then. But
yeah,
then
we can raise money till then. We're going to be promoting it a lot now. Now it's kind of crunch time. So you know, we're going to be working together. Reads Across America and Howland has a whole page and everything like that. So we're going to be stealing some ideas from them. Especially going forward to next year, too. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions?
That business is called Walmart.
Can I come in? I got a check for you for $250. Was donated.
So you can take it right to the credit union, actually. So any Reads Across America
give
donations can go right to the credit union. There's an account there. There's also 50-50 raffle tickets that you can buy there. You can buy it at Blazing Trails. You can buy it at Flat Just Baked. And you can buy it here as well through Melissa.
And is this all out on our website now?
If it is not, it will be. Like
yeah,
I said,
this should be out on our website.
Yeah, like I said, there was about everything that I did for the past month didn't update. So now I'm chasing my tail. But this will be going up there as soon as possible, though, for sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Anyone else? Thank you, Mr. Hammond. Anyone else for discussion on Wreaths Across America? Item 13, accept bid. Suggested motion, move to approve the bid from Ogden Mechanical in the amount of $42,930.20 to install a new natural gas boiler at the fire station.
So moved.
Dan?
Second.
Gordon? Discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
To my understanding, we only got one bid. And
Mr. Fire Chief?
Hey, Wes Brown, Fire Chief. We sent out five, we got one that we could open, and we got one that come in after the day.
Now, Mr. Chairman, can we retrofit? I mean, you can retrofit furnaces, oil furnaces, to natural gas. And if this was warranted, why wasn't in the budget?
It wasn't.
It was?
Yes.
Okay.
We had to vote to bid, so the money is there for it. You just have to vote to accept.
To correct me if I'm wrong, but we're lucky to get this far with it.
That's correct.
Yeah, last year it was in dire straits.
The boiler itself doesn't mean we can retrofit it because it's got a big crack in it, mm-hmm. and it's water squirting out. We've been lucky to get this far.
So this is a brand new one?
Yes.
And does that include labor?
Yes.
Everything's included
yes.
in it?
Mr. Chairman, did the second bid to come in, was it lower than this?
We didn't open it.
Why not?
Because it was after the bid, after the bid date that you recommended.
I mean, I think, Mr. Chairman, that we ought to go out to bid again. I mean, we have another 6 weeks before cold weather comes. And see if we get this knocked down a little bit, because the second bid to come in that we didn't open could have been $10,000 less, you know?
Mr. Summers.
Yeah, they had ample opportunity to replace their bids and they didn't do it. And if we start to allow that type of activity to continue, I can see this becoming a problem when we have other bids down the road. This could become a problem for us. Now, that boiler has been a problem ever since I was there. We've had the service, and it broke down several times when I was there.
That's correct.
And I remember looking into that when I was the deputy, or excuse me, the director of public safety, and we needed it back then. So that's my thoughts.
Anyone else?
Okay.
Listen.
We went through this a year and a half ago with the library, with the bids. Ogden came in less than anybody else when they bid on the library. They did it within the time frame that they said they would do it. Everything works great over there. And I think we received three bids there, and the next one up from Ogden was about a $20,000 difference.
And I do think if we deviate from the bid process, we'd be opening ourselves up for some more bids.
I mean, we could refuse the bid, and we have the right to refuse any
bid. Yeah, well, you do, absolutely.
And then we could open it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but we only got one bid, and what we don't want to do is have that person, that company, come back knowing that there's a good chance that they could charge us more the next time.
Marcella?
I feel this is a fair bid.
I do too.
So, because we had one put in that didn't charge. And I think it was a little more than that, so I think pretty big.
They come up, they went through the basement, looked it all over, recommended what we needed.
Any more discussion? All in favor? 6-0. Thanks, Chief. Number 14, approved going out to bid. Move to approve seeking qualified bids for the purchase of a mini pumper truck number 537.
So moved.
Gordon?
Second.
Dan? Discussion?
Mr. Chairman, are we going to have a minimum bid set on this? I mean, I would like to think that's worth $30,000, $40,000.
Mr. Manager?
I'm not sure the way this reads that it's clear that what we are doing here is selling this thing as opposed to buying one.
Yeah, we're not buying one, we're selling it.
No, I know, but I mean, you know, I'd hate to see someone get this for $5,000. And I can remember a few years back that we needed this certain piece of equipment. Do we really even use this piece of equipment? And if we do sell it, are we going to be selling it for enough to purchase a UTV? You know, so I just hate to sell it for next to nothing, because that truck has value.
Is that why we're selling this, to buy a UTV?
Well, my recommendation tonight to the board is that we put a minimum bid of $45,000 on it. And that with the money, we purchase a UTV, that we can put a pump on it and actually go into that mini lake that we have to rescue people. Right now, we do not have a snowmobile, we do not have a four-wheeler, and we don't have any way to get it. So when the calls come, we have to depend on other people in town, the ATV club, snowmobile club, to do our rescue or call other departments, which has worked out, but it takes time.
And so a minimum bid of $45,000. You want to sell it for $30,000, Mr. Hanning.
Well, that's
I'm teasing.
Trying to give it away on this.
That was the number that was given to me.
My goodness.
Now, can we purchase a UTV at $45,000? I'd hope to think we could.
If we shop around and maybe apply for some grants, if we need for the extra equipment.
How big would that have to be to haul a pumper on the back?
Well, we're not a pump. We just want to put a tank with a small pump. So really, a small ATV can do that, but we want one to put tracks on it so we can get around from point A to point B too.
Yeah, that's $15,000 just for tracks.
Yeah. Any more? All in favor? 6-0. Thanks, Chief. Approve ambulance financing and authorize treasurer. Suggested motion, move to approve entering into a four-year municipal loan agreement with Machai Savings Bank for the purpose of purchasing a 2025 Ford E450 chassis Medix model 166 Type 3 ambulance. The initial payment is to come from capital funds in the FY 2026 budget in the amount of $60,000, and subsequent payments to come from yearly operating budget. The council also authorizes the treasurer to sign any necessary loan lease documents.
So moved.
Gordon.
Second.
Dan. Discussion. Can I ask Melissa a question? Melissa, didn't we just get, we had a loan that we just paid off last year that we were paying on?
Yes.
And can you refresh my memory? I can't remember what it was, but we had an equipment item.
I believe it was the turnout gear, maybe, that we just finished with.
That we just finished with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor? All opposed. 5-1 with Sheldon opposed. Discussion, cemetery, parks, and recreation, UTV, item 16.
Bernie Crocker, Cemetery, Parks, and Rec Director. So pretty much discussion, just to answer the questions you guys had at the last council meeting in regards to our current machine. So we had that looked at prior by Jordan Equipment. I had them emailed them down there. They got back to me. So in the current condition that it's in right now, sitting in our shop, it's worth $1,250.
That's a UTV that's worth $1,250?
In its current condition as it sits right now. If we were to fix the machine, if it's operating, it'd be worth $5,000. That's its current value based on those two things. So the cost of replacing the engine would be $9,242. That's $6,762 for the engine and $2,480 for labor. So it also has issues currently, like a water pump, coolant tank, head gasket, parking brake, and there's a seal in the or there is a leak somewhere in the rear end. They don't believe that replacing those things will fix the machine in a whole because there is a crack in the engine block. So the engine would need to be replaced.
How old is this machine?
I believe it was purchased in 2013. The hours do look low for 920 hours currently on the machine, but it's not normal, just like ATV trail riding hours. It's, you know, hauling dirt multiple times for the full-size burials that we use it for, walking trails in the past, when those were getting set up, constructed. It's used during Loon Fest, you know, hauling trash, all that stuff. So it does have some hard hours on it. I can't answer for the maintenance on it prior to 2019. I do have handwritten notes from David Emery, who did regular maintenance on it, oil changes, things of that nature. Those go back to 2019. That's the maintenance that I got on it right now.
So it's had regular maintenance on it since 2019?
That I'm aware of, yes.
But it's 12 years old?
Yes.
And it would cost $10,000, roughly, to fix it?
For the engine. To fix the other things that need to be fixed on it as well, that would be an additional $2,400, $1,300 for parts, $1,100 for labor. Approximately 3 weeks after the parts come in, and then that is if they don't find anything else when they are fixing those other, you know, things that are wrong with it.
So that's at $11,642 to fix it.
Sounds about right, yes.
With all the problems it has.
Give or take, yeah.
How much was it for a new one? And how much is a new one?
The lowest bid we had at the time was, the bid that I put out for approval last month was
$21,822. Say that again. $21,822. Is that in your budget?
I do have it in my capital fund.
Capital fund?
Yep, it's part of the rec equipment. And one other thing I wanted just to mention too is possibly just going back to rebid. It has been 6 weeks since those bids
were
sent in.
Put it back over
bid. Yep. Because there were some rebates and stuff on those that could have changed, whatnot. So I don't know if the pricing would actually be the same or not.
Council?
Is it possible to get a used one? Do they?
I can look into used ones.
Good used one.
Yeah, I can look into that, kind of see what's out there as well. I can reach out to these salespeople, see what they, you know, recommend on that market. Yep.
That doesn't come with any warranties, even though used equipment.
Most likely not. No.
Is this you can't use this UTV as we speak because of the
No, currently it's just sitting dead in the water. It just overheats really quickly, and we believe it probably needs a battery now because it won't start as well.
Any idea what cracked the engine or cracked the engine block?
I couldn't tell you, no.
So right now that's worth $1,500?
$1,250. Yes.
Would they give that to us on a trade on a new one?
Yes. On my bid with Jordan Equipment, they were giving us... They were giving us the $1,250. Yep.
Mr. Chairman, we'd be foolish to trade it because if we get a comparable size of piece of equipment, the tires will work probably that. Because they're probably going to inflate the price to affect, reflect the trade-in allowance. That'd be my guess.
Do you know what the condition are on the tires on it now?
They need to be replaced.
At $900?
They're not made for road usage. They're more of a trail tire.
So who are you?
That is Cody Norrissey, is my cemetery supervisor.
Oh, let's bring it up and introduce yourself. Who are you?
That's my dad. I'm Cody Norris. I'm the cemetery supervisor.
Nice to meet you.
That's my bad. I'm really bad at introducing people.
So, Mr. Chairman, do we need it right now?
Currently, we're near the end of the season. With freezing temperatures coming, I don't anticipate needing it anytime soon. Like I said, I can't say if we'll have a full-size burial or not. You know, hopefully not. So it doesn't have to be something necessarily right now. I was thinking, you know, it could be January, February, you know, sometime just before, but by April, I would say.
We'll go out for the bid process.
Yep.
And see what we can do on a new bid, yep. And then come back in December and we'll look at it. So,
okay. I'll work for the December meeting. Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, did we award? We hadn't awarded that bid. That didn't throw it back 6 weeks ago. Right? We didn't award it.
No.
Okay.
So. Item 17, approve extended hours, 0700. Suggested motion, move to approve extending the library open hours until 4 p.m. on Saturday, November 8th, for an author, Paul Dorian, and book signing event to be held from 1 to 4.
So moved.
Gordon?
Second.
Marcella? Discussion? All in favor? 6-0. Item 18, authorize town manager to hire a building lister. Suggested motion, move to authorize the town manager to hire Byron Sanderson as a building lister for the assessing department with a salary to be paid by the taxes gained by finding and listing unassessed properties.
So moved.
Gordon?
Second.
Dan, discussion?
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir.
When this all came to light back last May, it was stated to the council that moving forward would be having some of these properties taken care of, and we'd have a dollar amount on how much money it has come in from that. Has that happened?
I don't believe it has, because the money won't come in until the next budget.
At least the commitments. Were the commitments added?
I don't believe so.
Why? Why was it stated?
We're hiring someone to do that. We've had people out looking. I can't answer that. Ruth, can you answer that?
So this has been an ongoing issue, and if you remember correctly, a plan was come up with last June for beginning of the summer that Ed and Amanda would go out and list property. Obviously, Amanda is not working today. Ed is a great asset. He's helped me with a lot of things, but he's new to Lincoln and he's not familiar with Lincoln. Lincoln's a very big, broad area, so to send him out by himself was not practical. Once commitment happened, which was late because of software issue, I was aware that there were still properties out there that needed addressing. It became very apparent to me that the more time went by, the problem was just going to exacerbate and get worse. So in the conversations over time, Byron Sanderson came to my attention, and he worked for a reval company that did Lowell and Enfield. He has experience as a lister. He knows what he's looking for. He knows what I'm looking for. And he has been very effective. He's gone out 2 days. He's visited 24 properties. One bill alone is going to generate $3,400. It's my opinion that what he's going to bring in, we can include in a report monthly in the assessing side to show you what we're bringing in and what we're billing out, and it will more than pay for his salary. I took him for what I could. I practically begged him to work with me because he said he was done. He didn't want any more to do with it. It was a rough job. He was burnt out. He didn't want to. Trust me when I say he's not doing this as a favor for me. He is doing this because, like the other people in this room, they want to pay their fair share of taxes. So he is going to work until he leaves for Florida the first week in December. I'd like to remind you that in September of 2022, I agreed to work beyond retirement, provided I did one job, and that was economic development. At the current time, right now, I am doing three full-time jobs. I am helping out doing code, and Bruce Arnold, we did code with the idea that he would do the inspections and I would stay in and issue the permits. Bruce, on occasion, is out because, again, he's retirement age and he can't always be here. So there's a deficit right there. So we have an extreme deficit in code enforcement. I did not realize how busy Amanda was. Last month alone, I did over 60 permits. And that doesn't include planning board, that doesn't include the questions, that doesn't include civil issues coming up. In addition to that, may I remind you, everybody is extremely pleased with their tax bills. And let me tell you how popular I am and how everybody really feels that it is a good recreational activity to come in and yell and insult the assessor. So in addition to that, I have grant deadlines for million-dollar loans that I have to keep track of and keep going. Vicki Rushbelt is helping out, but again, I need help. I'm worn out, I'm old, I'm tired.
You said it, Ruth.
I did say it. In 5 months, I'm gonna be 68 freaking years old. This is a lot of work for one person. And I'm tired, I need help. And I would really appreciate the council's support on this.
Would you be happy if we supported you on this?
I would break right down this table and ball my eyes out.
All in favor?
With that being said, we've hired Byron already.
He's worked 2 days with the understanding that if you don't approve it, he's done.
So why did we hire someone without the approval?
Can't answer that. Mr. Manager?
That is very disheartening.
Get on with it as fast as possible.
And also, is this going to take care of the double and triple homestead exemptions? Is it going to take care of a commitment that I saw that
I would like
a relative is getting a veteran's preference and neither one of them is a veteran?
I would like to address that issue, if I might.
Yes, ma'am.
That has come up multiple times. The Department of Revenue came in and went through every single solitary homestead exemption we had. They found three duplicates at which we had to pay back the reimbursement for a total of $780. That was it. And as far as the veterans have to provide me with a DD-214 or evidence that they are disabled. Otherwise, they don't get that exemption.
Well, I think you ought to go look at my Aunt Beverly and Uncle Woolwich property because neither one of them are veterans and they're getting a veteran's preference.
The only way they could have got that, Sheldon, is if they applied me the documentation.
They wouldn't have done that because they're one's deceased and one's pretty
young. The discussion isn't about the veterans. That's not what we're discussing.
Well, what I'm discussing is when we hire someone to do a job, we don't give them 15 hats to wear. This has been an ongoing problem for the last 20 years. And I can't get behind it because, no disrespect to Byron, but it is a bad policy to put someone to work and they're not even on the payroll for workers' comp or anything else. I mean, if Byron would have got hurt without the blessing from us...
He's a contractual agent.
But still, it's not the way to do business. And I can't support it.
That's a 1099, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
And whomever hired this person, it's not the way to do business.
Anyone else? Yes, Dan.
So, personnel, I mean, if there's an emergency like that, like we have here, that I think is an emergency, you can make those hires. So, I'm all for it. For personnel.
Anyone else? Mr. Hannon?
No.
Gordon? Steve? Myself? All in favor? All opposed. Congratulations, Ruth.
Thank you.
And I think that position is going to pay for itself tenfold. Number 19, discussion update on police department building.
Lee Miller, police chief. So I just wanted to give an update of where we're at with the police building. If you're by the police station, there's a beautiful trailer out front now.
It's like the Taj Mahal.
It's very, very nice. So we'll be in that in a couple days. Brittany's already moved out there today. It's kind of a hodgepodge of how we're going to make this work. So we can use the lobby. So we're going to put something out to the public, too, about what exactly. We still use the red phone at the lobby. You go to the red phone, then either the officer will come get you or Brittany will see you. But obviously, for security things, we just can't have people walking in the trailer. So as far as the fixing of it, the landlord is fixing it. We are, meaning the town's going to do our own testing. So we're going to test it before, test it after. We're going to use the same company that the court used. And they're coming tomorrow to do the pre-testing. And then once he gets it done, we've agreed, because everybody that I've talked to says you test it before you put sheetrock back up. Right. And so he disagrees with that, but he's agreed to let us do that. Hopefully it passes. If it doesn't pass, I don't know what to do. So.
Have they tested the courthouse?
Upstairs the courthouse, there's not a mold problem. It's where they were, where the court records were. So in behind our building, there's a one room there they use, and there was mold in that building, in that room. The court's never going to go back in that room. I haven't spoke to the court, but they were supposed to come back this month. They didn't. I think that's more of reasons because we are doing our part now, and so I don't think they want to be disrupted by, I mean, we make any noise down there, and the judge is like calling down, going, we need to be quiet. So I think that's why.
What's the response for that?
Well, I'm not going to say no to the judge. But that's kind of where we're at. I mean, we have done first reports on all the officers. The Department of Labor was involved, and the union was involved. We still have to work out a few things with the union, but hopefully we can make that all work.
It's the Department of Labor that likes our plan.
Yes, they like our plan. They closed out the case. As long as if it comes back and it's tested and it doesn't pass, I think then that's where there's going to be an issue. So.
Trailer with heat?
Oh, it has heat. I think it'll heat up in a second.
We'll have that fixed while the winter's over, Lee.
Thank you.
Item 21, executive session. Thanks for coming, folks.
And we do need it tonight.
Yep.